This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
What can we say when we're right? We're right. Hey there, Rooster Teeth fans. Welcome to another episode of the Ruby After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about Volume 5, Chapter 12, Vault of the Spring Maiden. We've got a fun show for you tonight, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
It feels so good to be validated. Yes.
I thought you were going to end What Can We Say with You're Welcome, so different. I went on a completely different
animated thing.
I was so wrong. So wrong.
And hey. Kratos Irving says, where's the Legends of the Hidden Temple music? That is exactly what I said the first time we watched this.
Well,
No, that wasn't you.
No, we're laughing about it. It's funny. It's a joke.
Yeah, Anthony.
Anyway, guys, hey there. We've got a lot to talk about, so let's not waste any time. We are talking about Volume 5, Chapter 12, Vault of the Spring Maiden. To my left, Mark Donica.
Hi, I'm Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter, Mark B. Donica, and on Twitch at InventoryFullPT. To my left is Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies. I can put together the Silver Monkey, and you can find me all over the social medias at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. And to my roundabout left,
I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. Be sure to follow Stacey Shuttleworth at Stacey Shuttles, and be sure to follow Patrick Dees at P to the Dees on the Twitter sphere. And we are going to be keeping an eye not only on the live chat over there, but on the hashtag RWBYABTV. We've already got some fun stuff in the hashtag already.
I got some art already.
Yeah, that did not take long.
But I also
Jester's chessboard, the pinata art is adorable, and I love it.
Oscar whopped the heck out of Leo. And also,
delightful.
May I say, hey, wrestling fans, I gave you a week. Where is it? Where's all the Braun Strowman stuff, especially after what happened on Raw on Monday? Come on.
Get it together, wrestling Ruby fans. Get it together. Before we get started, reminder once again, guys, to be courteous. We are only talking about Chapter 12. No spoilers for Chapter 13 yet.
In the chat, in the hashtag, on the comments, nowhere.
Please be courteous to the people who watch via the public release. Be courteous to the people here on the table. Be courteous to the people in the hashtag. Just don't be that guy. Long story short.
Don't be a Leo.
Don't be.
Or I suppose a Lionheart, because to everyone who was born in that particular month, yeah, I'm not making fun of you.
I don't know. The guy is pretty spry. He was clocked in the face and then fell down several flights of stairs and did not die.
Yeah, but he hit a man. And the force of him falling down the stairs and hitting a man caused the man to not move at all.
What is Hazel made out of?
Sterner spite. Stuff.
Both of those things are accurate statements.
Can we talk about Hazel? Since we're there.
Let's talk about Hazel, because I love seeing plot points and devices that were initially brought up in episodes of World of Remnant come actually into play here. Because when we initially had the World of Remnant about Dust, one of the things that was mentioned was that people can infuse their bodies with dust and then use that in terms of raw, unstable power.
See, and fandom went, dust tattoos. And Hazel went, nope, straight in the arm.
Dust. Dust.
Yeah.
I wonder what allows him to do that. I hope we get to find out soon anyway.
I'm going to go with spite.
Yeah.
Like, I will continue to go with spite.
The man is just made of venom and patience.
My favorite thing about, and Malachrome already hit upon it in the chat, is we learned about his sister Gretchen, Hazel and Gretchen, Hansel and Gretel. This is what happens when the
Hansel
kids
sides with the witch.
Get stuck with the witch, yeah.
Now,
see,
go ahead, Katie.
I love that we got his backstory. I love that we got it. I love that we got it so simply. And I know there's a lot of wiggle room in it, but my God, it has turned my opinion of that man from, oh, hey, you know, there's probably something going on. He seems really interesting, to, you stupid walnut, what are you doing? Like, my personal revenge vendetta that may or may not be valid is more important to me than the goals of the apocalypse cult that I've joined. Like, no, no. I no longer have sympathy for you, because not only are you invalidating your sister's choices, but you joined an apocalypse cult. Like, God! God bless you, you're stupid.
I think it's something that he's probably lived with since he was really young. If we go with the story of Hansel and Gretel, then they were very close to the same age, if not twins, depending on who you ask. So if he's been carrying this burden since he was a kid, and depending, we know that Ren's semblance has to do with emotions. If he has an emotional semblance, there could be something that is literally blocking him from moving on. And as a result, is caused him to make some terrible choices, but he's still a very strong man. Hazel Strongman, and I believe is his last name, but that's the thing is we still don't know, but I think this makes him a little bit more complex and a little bit easier,
or Hazel easier Smash. To like. And usually you have to be 17, 18 to join an academy, thank you. And you have combat training school before that. Like, usually everyone who gets into an academy has had a few years of combat training, Jean being the exception because he's Jean.
Because he cheated, yes.
Because he cheated, yeah. But usually people go in there and already have combat training. So at that point, you know how to handle yourself fairly well. You know how to use your weapon. You've probably made your own weapon, like 90% of the time, pulling out cannon from season one, y'all. And so she knew the risks. She knew what she was doing. She made the decision. And Hazel's still sitting here going, well, it's Oz's fault. Never mind that she went into this knowing what she was doing, and accidents actually do happen when you're in very dangerous situations.
Happens all the time.
Yeah. Now, here's the question about that, though, because we are given this very surface-level explanation. Hazel can't hear the explanation that Oz finally gives.
I found that so funny, is that we're seeing an intense conversation and Oscar, like, focusing and the music and everything, but everybody in the back, it's just quiet and,
you
like,
you just see Oscar's, like, eyes darting around.
Crow's kind of dying, and the rest of the team's, like, over with Weiss, and they're like, what? He's not doing anything! What's happening? It was just silence.
And Hazel is waiting patiently for Oz to explain the story.
Is he gonna explain it to you? Did he give you an explanation? Are we good? Great. I'm gonna murder you, and it won't be my fault.
Fia,
no, honey, it will.
Fia in chat has a very good point. If Ospen launched her off a cliff,
that's my headcanon.
Then thank you, Fia. That's pretty legit concern. They probably had to put those back. Like, the ones that we saw were probably a 2.0, whereas, like, the 1.0 with Hazel's class, Gretchen's class, they were just throwing them into the floor.
Well, they did say training mission, so I'd assume that she at least made it past initiation, but I absolutely
today
love
we're going to teach you how to land.
The landing strategy.
Well, no, it's like you see those dumb rules and warnings on the side of boxes.
There are reasons
there
for those.
There are reasons why. Not so, he's coming. I
do
mentioned
not
this.
Style hair while sleeping on the side of a hairdryer. My favorite one is one that's not appropriate for air. Remind me later and I'll tweet it out to you.
Dear Lord, I don't even want to know. I do want to ask this question, though, because nobody else can hear the explanation that Oz gives. So nobody can kind of confirm, deny, or corroborate what he's saying. What are the odds that there's a little bit more to it than the information that Oz has presented?
I'm sure there is, because Oz is Oz, but I don't think it's enough to change the bare bones of the story. I doubt that Gretchen was as plot involved as most of our teenagers are now. I think she was just someone that happened to be there, and sadly, something happened.
It's a certain point of view situation.
Yeah, perhaps.
I think we're even going to get a ghost, like that exact same scene where somehow a ghost is going to be able to sit on a log and explain to a child the certain point of view that they're coming from.
We'll just get this Rashomon thing where it's seen from five different perspectives, including the Grimm that inevitably ate her or something like that.
Oh, God. I'm sitting here wondering if, because the witch was the bad guy in the Hansel and Gretel story, I'm wondering if Salem isn't directly or indirectly responsible and is taking advantage of Hazel's anguish and putting more of the blame on Oz.
I hesitate to say she was responsible for Gretchen specifically, but I would be very surprised if she didn't find Hazel and be like, oh, this human is broken. Dance, puppets, dance.
I had a whole candy house thing set up, but nah, this works too.
Hey, this is great. You want to join my land of the dead and, like, the evil pit spawn Grimm place and let's have some fun? I'm losing words tonight. It's going to be great.
I invested all that time in that load-bearing candy cane. Seems like a waste in retrospect.
And I did see someone mention in the comments of one of the videos on my channel that there was talk of the relics. If you had all of them, you could essentially rewrite reality. So it's possible that she promised him his sister back if he helped her get all the relics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that might be why he's in it.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
That's a really good theory. Thanks, Jade, on Twitter, who also says Gretchen could have been killed by the witch Salem and just blamed Oz to convince Hazel to join. Although, since Oz says she died on a training mission...
Folks in chat are saying that it could have been as a result, but I agree with Katie to the point where I don't think that she... Unless she
was more opportunistic.
I mean, unless Hazel was, like, super developed and, like, making a name for himself in amongst whatever circles, power circles, fight clubs, whatever, what have you, then I don't think it would have... I think it was just opportunistic that...
I'm just like, yeah. This very fortuitous thing.
He might have been looking for a way and sought an all-powerful witch, and that's where the story sort of changes from the one that we know.
So it's not just a revenge quest, but as you guys said, potentially trying to get her back.
Mm-hmm.
Raven did mention people. She's seen people come back from the dead. She might not have just been talking about Oz.
Yeah.
So it's entirely possible.
I still think he's a complete moron with flipped priorities, but
I'm entitled to my opinions and I'm mad at him.
What I'm wondering is how long a human body can withstand the raw power of dust crystals, because they made a point of saying it's very unstable. So I'm wondering if it's shortening his lifespan or if by the end of this bout he's just going to explode.
He had a full-on, he hulked out and had a full-on Kingdom Hearts possession dual voice going on there, so this can't be good.
Favorite, I mean, this is a pretty solid episode for dialogue, but I think my favorite line was Ozpin, I'm gonna kill you over and over and over again. It's very like, I'm not finished with you yet, and I will kill you as many times as it takes. It's a man with goals.
That it was a genuinely chilling moment. And kind of going off of what you said, one of my favorite lines was Oz saying he's wounded in a way that can't be mended. I really appreciated that too. But also within this bout, it's kind of weird thinking that, because we basically get confirmation in this episode that Oz can take the wheel whenever he wants, because he asks Oscar several times, hey, let me take this one, and Oscar refuses, and he goes, sorry, kid.
And I am looking forward to volume 6, where we will finally get our Ruby Consent episode, like we did with Steven Universe. That's not even a joke.
No, it's not. But it's genuinely chilling that Oz can take control of him whenever he wants, and it's basically just another bit of confirmation that eventually Ozpin will overwrite who Oscar is, and that's unfortunate.
We've gone full Yu-Gi-Oh!
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming direct control.
And Robert Corporate says, Jesus, take the wheel.
Ozpin, take the wheel. Take it from my hand. Lord.
Save me from this road I'm on.
Speaking of being saved.
Speaking of Jesus, take the wheel.
We finally finally get Jean's semblance, guys.
That I wore my Zenyatta shirt for a reason. Healer main, yo!
What's that look?
It's convenient. There. I've been enjoying this season a lot. There have been a lot of choices to me that seem very convenient. And, like, we need to solve this problem now. Well, this doesn't have a resolution yet, so let's just put that over here. And, again, we're episode one with this, so I like the inherent guilt that comes with John now being able to heal and not where it counted.
Well, it counts because Weiss is dying. But earlier, you know what I'm saying. Sure. Like,
I could have done so much if I had this. This is my fault. It's gonna get real bad for John emotionally, and that's gonna be. It's a weird thing to say that that's something I'm looking forward to, but it's gonna give him a little bit more depth, and he's gonna have some growth, and that just being the baseline of it, I wonder how that can then grow like we've heard semblances can.
Well, and Miles' performance in this episode was incredible. Mm-hmm. This one and last one, very well done.
Yes, yeah, spot on voice acting wise. Talking about potential development there. It's definitely, once all of this is said and done, assuming everybody lives through this, he's going to have to go, like, I could have done something if I had just worked harder, if I had figured it out sooner. And things could have been very different.
Sorry.
Oh, no, go for it.
So everybody in chat saying, you can't heal Ash. Now, I'm not saying that, given the exact situation, that he probably would have tried. But even before, if he had this before, and control of it before, like you were saying it, the entire course of the season three could have, or the entire show could be completely different if John showed up and was like, hey, by the way, I heal Aura.
Like, he could have healed her ankle. He could have gone with her. Like, she wouldn't have felt the need to launch him off.
You're an asset, not a liability.
I feel like she probably would have launched him off anyway.
Potentially.
Because even if he had his aura, his combat was still not up to par, and she knew she was going in a fight she couldn't win.
If he was more of an equal, though, they could have gone in together.
Malachroma, he could have healed Amber.
Yes! Oh, I was just about to bring that up. Well done, Mal.
Please go up.
Yeah, oh no, because that's the other thing, is that the Fall Maiden was in a coma, severely injured. He could have potentially healed her, therefore negating the need to find a new Fall Maiden in the first place.
And then all of the stuff we're talking about right now is all of the stuff that's going to be swirling around in John's head. And it's like, and even before that, I could have done this. And even before that, I could have done this. And even before that, I could have done this.
I guess.
But it's, you never could have known, you didn't have it then, and all you're doing is torturing yourself, so please stop.
Yeah, the only thing he can do is now taking this and moving forward with it and not letting anybody down in the future ever again. That's how I think the character is going to have to rationalize it, because otherwise, he's going to drive himself crazy.
Well, and he's already kind of the strategy guy for the team. And this is one more piece of, okay, we know what we can do. Let's work with this.
Now, I know that healer necessarily, in some ways, that might be disappointing to some people. Mark in particular.
Me.
But I'd like to, in terms of counterpoint, I really do appreciate that on a show where most of the cast members are female, that we have several male characters who are more of the support role or whose semblance is tied to emotion. Those are roles normally designated to female characters when it's the reverse. It's like you have a team of guys with one or two girls, and they get the powers that are tied to emotions and to healing and things like that. So I know that it's kind of upsetting, like something with fire would have been really cool.
Oh, no, all of that stuff makes complete sense. And for the, quote, cross-dressing team, it makes sense that they're using that, the advantage of who these characters are based off of, to subvert that trope. Mm-hmm. And I like that. In terms of headcanon's a big problem. And it's not something where it's like, well, I'm not going to accept it. I'm not going to watch this show anymore. It's something that I could have driven him a little bit crazy. It could have been something. I was more about cradle the boy, not wreck the boy. They're wrecking the boy.
Well, we'll have to see how he comes out of this. We'll have to see how they handle it. And we'll have to see how everything that's happening now turns out, because we're not out of the woods just yet.
And that brings up another point, something that I was afraid of when we were going to start getting Ruby back, the Team Ruby back together,
yes.
is that the rest of Juniper is going to go back to a supporting role. All three of them. Because right now, they're just hanging out. They're just making sure that... We're going to make sure that everything's okay.
They're covering.
Yeah, yeah, they're the support team. And as opposed to last season when it was Team Ranger and everybody was out there and we were getting to know more about Ren. We're getting to know more about everybody. And it's like, oh, these are frontline people. Oh, never mind, the rest of the team's back.
I don't think we're going to... It's hard to balance this many characters, but they've been pretty good at it so far. I don't think we're going to... relegate them to supporting roles, especially after what's been happening this season and last.
That is a fair concern, though. I mean, last season, the climax of last season was all about reconciling Ren's past and taking out the monsters from Ren and Nora's past. So I definitely understand that concern. I'm hoping that next season, once, you know, assuming that this season does end with Team Ruby getting back together.
When the dust settles.
Dang it. But I'm hoping that they will continue to be as important as Team Ruby. Mm. Yes. So that is a fair concern. Thank you, Mark.
Mecha Soundwave, though, does comment, Oscar's last name is Pine. Juniper is back, baby! So maybe, who knows?
Them slotting Oscar into that spot. Mm. Like, we need a DPS. You're in.
Assuming Oz can be trusted.
Mm. I think we kind of assume that no. I mean, we're on his side for a reason, because his side is the side that doesn't want to completely raise the world to the ground, but... yeah.
I don't know.
Still a whole bunch of half-truths and avoidances, and, well, it wasn't relevant at the time, so I didn't bring it up.
Oz seems to me to be less team let's not destroy the world and more team let's wait and see what happens. That bothers me a little bit, Oz. That bothers me ever so slightly. The rest of the people in this cast don't get to live as long as you, so...
I feel like he's a little tired of it, though. Like, I would like to shuffle off this mortal coil and not have to come back on.
Well, then maybe he should open up his mouth a little bit more.
Do better!
Pretty much. Okay, I feel like that covers it for those parts of the episode. Do we have any other thoughts on Jean's semblance or on Hazel's backstory before we move on?
I'm just glad we have more supports in the party. We needed some balance.
More Hazel, please.
Yes.
Hazel Strowman. Oh boy.
Hazel Strongman.
That jerk.
Talking about wrestling moves, I wish there had been a set of ropes for Oz, for Oscar to like bounce off of, because he was doing so much hopping around.
He doesn't need them. Yeah.
I think my favorite
backyard stuff
was the bit of like the parkouring on the staircase and then taking out Hazel's knees from behind. That was the best.
I feel bad for Crow, though. Just that moment of, and there's the bad luck semblance. I hope you didn't need your spine.
Here's hoping. If one of you could do me a favor and pull up some iTunes really quick, I'm going to talk to you guys really quick about how important iTunes is. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you, and it is the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. And it tells them that you guys like it when we talk about Rooster Teeth-oriented content. It makes us more searchable in the iTunes store. It does us a world of good. And we'll talk about it a little bit more at the end of the show, but there might be more stuff to talk about
soon. There's going to be more.
We'll talk about that in the news and gossip of the show. But if you guys also rate and leave a comment, you might even get a shout-out on the show. Do we happen to have any
We
new
do,
ones?
But two of these are theories. So starting one with Lava Man G, 5-star rating, awesome. You guys are amazing. Quick, to the point, love it.
Aw, thank you.
And now for some papers. The title got cut off, but by anti-Ozpin, love this panel, but don't trust. I don't know who not to trust. Hi, I've been listening, watching since the middle of Volume 1 and enjoy listening to all of the great things this panel and the live chat have to say. I am in the minority, but I don't trust Ozpin. Won't ever trust him. When he murders, not merges with, Oscar so he can have a body to himself, wow. I will be back saying I told you so. P.S. Back in Volume 5, Chapter 7, Sean also wasn't taking that BS Ozpin was giving everyone, and so proud of him for it. P.S.S. You're all awesome.
I feel like there's a lot of merit to that.
And now, even longer, go Hawks go. This is just a theory, so strap in.
A game theory.
Five stars, and it's been not even to us. So if, please, we love you. Thank you. Theories are not for iTunes. Here we go. Been a fan from the start, but I have a theory about Ilya. This is open to discussion if you feel the need to do so. I think Ilya having feelings for Blake explains a lot of the, quote, protective actions of Blake. When she sneaks into the manor, she tells her to leave before it's too late. This is her trying to protect Blake because she has a feeling that the White Fang and Menagerie were trying to come after her. Her romantic feelings for Blake were also the reason why she was so hesitant and scared of the plan to kill the Belladonnas and capture Blake for Adam. She felt like Blake would forever hate her for doing this, which is detrimental to someone when you are in love with that person. Okay, insofar. It also shows, while in the battle, Ilya is nowhere to be found until the fight with Blake, presumably hiding in order not to be involved in the assassination. She fights so hard and becomes so angry because now that Blake is there, they have to fight, and for the first part of the fight, Blake was more dodging and taking potshots instead of full-on fighting. This can anger someone who is already hurting from the fact that they are fighting someone they love and that they aren't really fighting back. Here's my theory, and sorry for the long message, so I cut it short. Y'all are great, and keep up the good work. P.S. I am Team Bumblebee.
Aww.
I mean, technically, we have to be contractually.
That's true.
Cut off one said, "Don't trust Ozpin."
Well, yeah, we got it for the rest of the message.
Yep.
Speaking of not trusting Ozpin, Cinder and Raven's sort of side of the story also kind of potentially puts certain people's actions into a new context and a new light. Guys, one, poor Vernal. Oh,
she had so much potential. And
why,
now
not dead?
She doesn't.
She's not dead.
I feel a little gutted.
I don't know. She wasn't moving, man. Ugh.
We've seen people get up for more.
Okay, that's true.
Crow missed the pun.
Crow was poisoned. No, we didn't miss it. We didn't acknowledge it. Crow was poisoned for like a month.
That's
Let's be
true.
Fair. So,
this is true.
And that's a man cursed with bad luck. Still didn't die. So we don't know if she's dead, but we also don't know. So I wanted to ask y'all's opinion. With Raven taking her sword out, do you think she was going to be attacking? Or do you think, now that we know what we know, she was going, because she can make a portal to and around people, I thought she was gonna make a tiny portal to pop her hand through to touch the door in front of Vernal so that Vernal goes up and touches it, and then Raven touches it too, and then it opens up the thing. That I thought that, but also murder.
I guess
I straight up thought murder.
Sure.
I guess it depends on what her exit strategy was, so to speak, because their plan was to take the relic in the chaos and then peace out. So it could be that she was going to attack Cinder to either kill her or disable her in some way, I don't know. Maybe do what Cinder ended up doing and like freezing her for a minute while they grabbed the relic and then peaced out. Or she could have been trying to kill her, or doing that, and then as soon as they had possession of it, then open up a portal and just run.
Go ahead.
We
don't know where that door leads. If it's another dimension, if it's another land, if it's another world, whatever.
If it's a small box in a wall.
You flip and throw Cinder in there. Sure, we don't know. We still also don't know how the door works. If it's an actual door, you throw in, close the door.
Bye.
She can't get out. Only the Spring Maiden can open that door.
That's a brilliant idea.
So also, because then Raven and Vernal come back up and go, we don't know what happened.
Oh, man.
Because if
Raven... 1 minute she was there, said, I'll be right back, and then she disappeared.
We lost Stretch Armstrong. Sorry.
What does that mean? What does Stretch Armstrong mean?
The stretchy
arm. No, I know, but they don't know that, and they don't need to know that. If Raven is the smart leader that we've been building up to this entire time, she was not going to kill anybody. Because the last thing that she wants is Salem to come after her. She just wants to wipe her hands. I'm taking my group and getting out of here, but we're taking this as a bargaining chip so that when they do come back to us, we can negotiate our way out of it. I don't think that she was trying to kill Cinder. I think it was just, like, if she was trying to kill Cinder, she would have never put her mask back on.
That's true.
Yeah, it's why possible, hide? Yeah.
Yeah. It would, if that was the case, then it would have been solely for the audience to keep the audience in the dark.
And speaking of the audience, I thought the revelation was way too long. the second chicanery started happening, he's like, oh, okay, so it's Raven. But that also, I loved the explanation. Now that makes sense why Raven had her mask on in all of those encounters. Anytime she, quote, used power or Vanalla used power, that is a great way to do it. But regardless.
It also explains a little bit about the first time we see her. If Neo might have just recognized her as Raven, as the leader of the bandits. Oh, somebody not to be messed with. And that's what scared her. It's hard when you have a character who doesn't talk, but like, it's also possible that she could have recognized her as the Spring Maiden and then went, peace, bye everyone. Go
Thea
ahead.
In chat brought up something that I actually didn't think of till next episode, but it's not spoilery. So Raven is the Spring Maiden, yet Leo showed no recollection of her and Vernal was a decoy. So what happened to the original Spring Maiden? Somewhere in here, a child died, you guys.
We don't know if it was on purpose. We don't know if it was an accident. We don't know if the kid got sick, whatever. But at some point, a small child died and Raven got her powers. Well, so not who even knows? Necessarily. There's also the theory going around that that Oz and Leo and whoever else needed to be involved lied about the identity of the Spring Maiden to Oz's other subordinates because Raven just went and when she got the powers left. And so they were like, shoot, we need to pretend like we have the Spring Maiden still. Otherwise, this is going to be trouble. And so Vernal was basically their stand-in. Same story. Couldn't deal with the pressure, ran away. And, of course, came across the real Spring Maiden, Raven. And was just like, hey, just keep doing what you're doing. That's entirely possible. A lot of people are wondering if maybe Summer was the Spring Maiden and Raven killed Summer and then got the powers that way. That I don't see that being the case since Summer had presumably silver eyes like Ruby does. So I don't see her being the Spring Maiden, but I wanted to put it out there because some people had assumed that was a theory.
What a bigger target on your back than having silver eyes and magic powers.
Yeah, it's true.
And also, like, I've talked before about the theory of Raven hating Summer. This could be so much salt in the wound for Raven, if that is the case. If not, and they had a nice, and we find out that they had a nice relationship, and then Summer, and then Raven gets this burden is both a nice thing because that's the last person that Summer was thinking about before she died. And also, I was out and then they pulled me back in. Malachroma mentioned that they put a theory in chat. Arnold mentioned in his reaction that the Spring Vault reminded him of Yggdrasil, the life tree.
The life tree, yes.
It makes sense since the current Maiden Raven is based on Hugin and Munin, and also Norse. Thoughts?
Ooh. I wish I knew more about Yggdrasil and that lore. I've only ever read about it in, like, pop culture-y books.
I mean, it's the tree that connects the nine realms.
Mm-hmm. But
there is a giant squirrel living on it. Whose name I cannot remember.
I think it's Hazel.
Checks out.
You're welcome, fan artists. You're welcome.
I need a giant squirrel grim in my life right now.
His name is Hazel?
Me. I can't remember his name. No, it's this really... Ratatosk. That's it.
I heard Ratata, but I know that's not right. I like where your head is at, Mal. Keep it up.
Yeah.
I do want to ask, though, does this change your guys' view of Raven as a character? Because prior to this moment, a lot of her choices have seemed irredeemable. And I know that we don't have the full story, but a lot of her choices, based on the limited perspective that we have and the limited information that we have, paint her as a very bad person.
We don't know how she got these powers, and I think that's going to be the crux of a fair number of things. Also, she still just kind of... The fact that I'm sitting here going, it's possible she murdered a child to get powers, and there really hasn't been anything in the series to contradict that as a, no, she'd never do that. are you sure? She's a very interesting shades of gray, don't know enough about her to say for sure character, and I like that. I am intrigued.
Mark?
I think I've spoken my piece about this bitch. Woman. Sorry. Sorry.
Hazel, oh, this is interesting. It has possibility. And then he proved himself to be a gallivanting moron. So we'll have to see what Raven does.
Well, I would have to disagree with that because I don't agree with what you thought about Hazel. Anyway, but in terms of Raven, we still don't know the story. That's true. Don't know if she told her, oh, you're totally the Spring Maiden, and was like Wizard of Ozing her. Weird that came up.
Attention to the woman behind the mask.
Yeah, or if it was a thing where Vernal came to it and like, oh, her name means spring. We can use this. And they're like, all right, we have a very important job for you. You'll probably die. This is like a Padme episode 1, episode 2 situation.
Yeah, where a very decoys. Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we don't know. Hopefully we'll be able to hear from Vernal from her very own mouth next episode.
One more sort of revelation from this episode is that not only, you know, do we look at Raven as having powers we didn't know about, but Cinder has now been confirmed to be part Grimm. She has a Knuckle-y style Grimm arm that can stretch. I was going to say, did Watts do this to her?
I'm going to go with yes.
Mr. Frankenstein man?
Yeah.
If it was more knuckle-y, I would expect it to be more like... Blah, 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 blah.
more but it wasn't. She wacky had inflatable.
Yeah. Yeah, she had control of it, so...
Outside a car dealership.
maybe Cinder needs to give up this life of crime and villainy and just park it outside of a car dealership. She'd do great work. That makes it look more like she's at a rave.
Yeah,
like
sure.
Give her some glow sticks.
Well, I mean, rave Kevin and Randall were their best employees, and then we lost them. So
yeah, that was
not Kevin and Randall. Randall and
Jim.
Jim, thank you. Kevin's the dragon.
Yes. These Grimm. I can't say it's that much of a surprise, but it's still real unnerving to see her with a Grimm arm.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, I'm wondering if it's not going to get worse. And this makes me ask questions about Salem's biology as well. Like, if this was something that was Frankensteined to Cinder, you know, I don't know. I have a lot of questions about Salem. But, yeah, any other thoughts on this episode before we move into some news and gossip?
I enjoyed it very much, and I assume next episode is going to be nuts, because we sure did just set up for a brawl.
It's two left.
Yep, two left,
and the rest of the news we're about to talk about is exciting.
All right, then let's go ahead and take a moment to talk about some Rooster Teeth and news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
You're really good at that.
Yeah, I threw my voice, so I did a Hazel thing where it sounded like I had two voices. And a little like Robo Report style thing. But yeah.
So, yes, go for it.
Oh, all right. Well, let me...
Oh, no, I can pull it up if...
I've got...
They've announced their slate.
There were some announcements today. Basically, there was a Collider article and an Entertainment Weekly article talking about basically the 2018 animation slate for Rooster Teeth. One of the important things is that Red vs. Blue, Camp Camp, Ruby Chibi, Death Battle, DBX, and RTAA will all return this year. Those are definitely... all of those are good news.
One of the most important things that I don't think people may or may not have glossed over is that on the Ruby Chibi bit, it said returning this month.
Oh.
It's January. The last episode's the 20th. There's only one Saturday after that, and that's the 28th. If they're launching as early as the 28th, that's a long season.
Well, we had 20 some odd episodes last...
But if it goes January to October...
I don't know if it will... It might be something where they fade it out and then they kind of replace it with Camp Camp.
They could also do two half seasons so that Ruby fades out and back in, mm-hmm. and we get Genlock and the other announcement in the meantime.
The other announcement.
So excited for Nomad of Nowhere.
Ruby is coming back in the fall, although there's not a specific date. And Genlock is coming this year, but also not a specific date on that one. And the little blurb about Genlock was that it's a diverse team of young pilots who are recruited to control the next generation of giant weaponized robot bodies. So that's cool. We all kind of figured that was the case, but like, it's nice to get more blurbs on that. And then the one I think we're all really excited for is Nomad of Nowhere, which premieres on March 2nd. A mysterious nomad traverses a western wasteland, but a price on his head sends him on the run from captors and bounty hunters who all want to score big when they bring in the world's last magical being.
Here's the thing. Trigun has been my favorite anime for a literal decade. So this is just like, hello, you're meeting all my standards.
And in case, Rooster Teeth fans, if you're not on the website, go to the website, because being able to follow various members of the various teams of the whichever universe, whether it's Achievement Hunter, Animation, or whatever, because Jordan Swears, who's going to be directing Nomad of Nowhere, he gave us a little bit more. He said that it's a Western fantasy mashup about a mysterious nomad traveling in a Western wasteland that hasn't seen magic in 100 years. There's a price on his head. He's going to blah, blah, blah. But think of it as two-part Samurai Jack and True Grit with a dash of Lord of the Rings. So it's a fantasy Western. Mm-hmm. And my favorite piece, well, there's two pieces of news. An animator let it slip that this is coming in March.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. March 2nd. We have a
date. And 2D.
Mm-hmm.
Not 3D. Like, I'm excited for what Genlock's going to do for Rooster Teeth's 3D division. And Camp Camp was an amazing 2D, well, not experiment. It still is an amazing 2D show. But then going from comedy to action in 2D, especially Western and presumably swords and guns and that stuff.
Fantasy, where there's magic. I like my Westerns over the top, and like Quick and the Dead sort of thing. So you throw in magic and all sorts of other stuff like that in there, and I am 100% down. And I believe there's a picture on Jordan's post that has a wanted poster, and the guy
it was on the announcement as well.
Yes,
it's on the Slate announcement too.
It looks really cool and really stylized.
Looks like the bartender from My Hero Academia.
A little bit,
hat. Oh my god, yep.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Basically, I need this in my life, and is it March yet?
We'll have to talk about it off-panel, about whether or not we want to talk about it here in studio.
We got the show.
I think we definitely should.
We have a show
should.
For it.
I know.
Are we just weekly now? We might just be weekly now.
Anyway. I mean, if the animation slate is year-round, probably not for the months when it's only Ruby Chibi.
Well,
but
stay tuned to us as we talk about our future airing schedule. I think long and short of this announcement is that we are all very excited for Genlock, and we are all very excited for this new show announcement. Nomad of Nowhere sounds awesome. All right, guys, I think it's time for some real quick rapid-fire predictions.
After Buzz TV prediction.
Well, Blake's going to have to show up eventually. We have two episodes left, and I assume she'll show up at
Frodo.
Some point. Yeah, no, seriously.
Yep. Talking about Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Mark, any thoughts before the end of the season?
I mean, as usually they do with gearing up to finale time, they present a lot more threads right as they're answering questions. Just in terms of... I just got something confused with Camp Camp. I'm like remembering when they said Camp Camp was going to be a double wide ending.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the length of the Ruby ending, but we presume it's going to be within the wheelhouse of a standard 22-minute show, as it usually is back and forth here. But they've got a lot to cover, and what is everybody else doing? The people, not just Blake, but what is Watts? What is Salem? Tyrion, what forces that we may not even recognize, you know, are they going to open the door? I'll open the door. You're the one that has to walk through it. Damn it. But yeah, we got a precious little time. Are we going to get a giant Salem versus Team Ruby? Time
will
tell.
That would be amazing if she just showed up.
I'm expecting to walk away from the season feeling vaguely okay and then have the inevitable stinger at the end of the credits just completely wreck that feeling.
Sure.
I'm thinking my real quick prediction is that Cinder was not supposed to attack the Spring Maiden. And so when, as you said earlier, when the dust settles and we get back to Salem, Salem is going to be infuriated with literally everybody who made this plan way more complicated than it needed to be. So I feel like this season is going to end with Salem coming down on her underlings.
Yeah, nobody's been following the plan. Sienna Khan is dead. That was not the plan to start with. And then, you know, okay, we're going to make this really simple. Actually, we're going to make this really complicated because I have a vendetta.
And personal.
And then,
that is the theme of this season. We're going to make this really complicated because I have a vendetta.
I think the theme of this season is we're going to introduce characters to kill them.
That too.
My heart.
Yeah.
That too.
Yeah.
All right. Ooh. Well, guys, I think that just about wraps it up. Thank you guys so, so much for watching. Katie, where can people go if they want to find you?
You can follow me all over the social medias, as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. If you would like to see Megan's and my reactions to these episodes, they live on that YouTube channel.
You like stuff? I got stuff. You can follow me on Twitter, Mark Budonica. I also am a part of a team, Inventory Full PT, on Twitch. We do gaming as well as a gamer culture show on Monday. We're introducing two new shows, one of which is an anime review show. We're going to be doing the first episode on the Persona 5 what is it called? OVA.
Nice.
We're going to be doing that before the end of the month. So I know some of you have subscribed from this show and the stuff that we've done on that channel. So we're trying to cater to you a little bit more, just to be perfectly honest. So if you want more anime stuff, go over to Inventory Full PT. We're doing a subscriber drive. If you have Twitch or if you have Amazon Prime, you can subscribe to Twitch Prime for free. And we're working on more benefits for those people. Megan.
I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I do a bunch of stuff. Just follow me on Twitter. Be sure to follow Stacy at Stacy Shuttles and Patrick at P to the D's. Please keep commenting in the hashtag, commenting on iTunes again. Thank you guys so, so much for watching. We've only got a few episodes left, so we can't wait to talk to you about them. Bye!
Everyone's gonna die.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Dust you later.
Herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.